Welcome back to Asia Pacific Forum, WBAI 99.5, listener-sponsored radio in the great New York City, also on WBAIfree.org. We'll continue now with the second part of our show, where we will proceed with the conversation that we had last week, looking at the current situation in WBAI and Pacifica, and trying to proceed to the most positive resolution possible of this current situation. As I'm sure all of you know by now, we are living in very interesting times in this, our favorite and most powerful radio station, WBAI. At around 10 o'clock on Friday night, about 2 weeks ago, Pacifica director, executive director Bessie Walsh, arrived at WBAI here in 120 Wall Street, New York, and named TalkBack host Utrice Lead as interim station manager. Bessie Walsh and Utrice Lead then proceeded to change the locks on the doors of WBAI at 7 a.m. the next morning, that is Saturday morning. Then program director Bernard White and his producer Sharan Harper on the show Wake Up Call received letters at their homes terminating their services after many years, about 20 years of work at WBAI, with no reasons given, and threatening them with arrest if they tried to enter the radio station. Since then, at least four others have been banned from WBAI: Janice K. Bryant, Shireen Roberts, Eileen Sutton, Rosalie Hoffman, and many others have been told not to show up at the station. Currently, we are operating with guards in the studio, including at certain hours, off-duty cops, some of whom presumably are therefore armed. What is most hopeful in all of this, however, is the level of listener support that has been pouring in. There are two hotline numbers. I'll repeat them in just a second. And people are calling those hotline numbers. About 200 to 300 people are calling each day offering support. At a meeting and rally last Wednesday, more than 1,200 people showed up on a freezing winter evening to listen to an analysis and a possible planning for what to do at WBAI. Now, the hotline numbers are 800-825-0055 and 718-707-7189. I will come back to that later at the end of this show. Last night, a group of producers and concerned listeners of WBAI met to draft a statement about the current situation at the station. I will read that statement now. It's as follows. We, the concerned listeners and staff of WBAI, reject the way that WBAI's general manager, Valerie Van Isler, was removed by Pacifica Foundation in collaboration with local personnel, and the way that the interim general manager, Utrice Lead, was installed. We deplore the foundation coming in secret in the middle of the night at the start of a holiday weekend to change the station's locks, and we deplore the illegal installation and imposition of new station management. We deplore the firings, the bannings, the presence of security guards in the station, and the denial of access to personal property belonging to staff. We deplore the racial divide and conquer strategy now being used, and we deplore the scapegoating of any individual staff member or listener. We call for the return of all fired and banned staff, and we demand a democratic process to determine the leadership of this station. This was signed by a number of people, including Janice K. Bryant, Roger Wareham, Brother Shine, Bernard White, Dina Colbert, Rachel Barr, Bob Lederer, Ilambe Brath, Scott Sommer, Bob Fass, Christian Lemoyne, Eileen Sutton, Rosalie Hoffman, Mimi Rosenberg, Amy Goodman, Bill Weinberg, Kathy Davis, Ursula Rodenberg, myself, Anirudh Das, and so on. Now, there is a certain analysis in all of this that it's a purely internal matter, a matter of change in the management. There was even this amazing statement by our interim general manager, Utrice Lead, in her TalkBack segment last Monday, that this entire crisis now in WBAI is the result of one shadowy individual, a Svengali, quote unquote, who is pulling the strings from the background and destroying the station. This from the person, Utrice Lead, who is actually responsible for banning Janice K. Bryant, Shireen Roberts, Eileen Sutton, et al. What all that we can do to counter this analysis, that it's purely an internal matter, purely a matter of local management, is to present to you, the listener, this evidence that we have and let you decide for ourselves. And our contention is that this is really the work of Pacifica exploiting the internal personality differences in WBAI to come in and eviscerate the more progressive elements in the station. Pacifica has been trying for a number of months now to tone down the political coverage of Amy Goodman and Democracy Now. It was Pacifica which withdrew the press pass of the entire Democracy Now! Crew at the Democratic Convention, preventing Amy from providing the same coverage of the Democratic Convention as she had for the Republicans. Pacifica representatives have criticized her for excessive coverage, too much graphic detail, and it's also noteworthy that Pacifica decided to remove the general manager shortly after she stood up for Amy Goodman at a producer's meeting last September. On other occasions, when WBAI covered the Palestinian Right to Return March in Washington, D.C., the executive director of Pacifica, Bessie Walsh, demanded that the program director, Bernard White, remove that from the WBAI website. Finally, there is the matter of the composition of the board of Pacifica. This celebrated, non-profit, community-based, listener-sponsored radio foundation can now boast of some serious capitalists on its national board. Pacifica treasurer Michael Palmer is developing maquiladoras, sweatshop export zones in northern Mexico. Pacifica vice chair Ken Ford is a lobbyist for the National Association of Home Builders. Businessman Bert Lee has extensive experience buying and selling broadcast licenses. Executive Director Bessie Walsh had nominated to the board Francisco Ricciola, who is the vice president of Citicorp for investments in Africa and the Middle East. Elected to the national board past February was John Murdoch, a corporate attorney whose firm, Epstein, Becker & Green, boasts on its website that it maintains a union-free workplace. It helps corporations maintain a union-free workplace and for getting significant fractions of its business by representing HMOs. You really have to wonder what these folks are doing on the board and how they got there. Well, last week we talked to David Adelson, the chair of the local advisory board at KPFK in Los Angeles, and Sam Husseini, the chair of the board in Washington, D.C., talking about one lawsuit that they have instituted to try and counter this terrible history of what's happening in the national board. Today, as my guest this evening, I have Rob Robinson, who's a dissident member of the Pacifica National Board, who, along with another member, Rabbi Aaron Krieger, is one of the plaintiffs in a second lawsuit, the so-called director's lawsuit brought against the National Board. Rob, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Andrew Ruta. Thank you so much.
So, Rob, why don't you start by laying out your grounds for why you're bringing this lawsuit, and we'll go on from there.
Okay, let me do that. But first of all, let me send a message of thanks to the listeners of WBAI, to the programmers and the volunteer staff and the paid staff, and to the local advisory board at WBAI. For keeping the faith and staying with the struggle now. I know it's very difficult. And to those people that have been terminated and lost their jobs, Bernard and Sharon and others, we would just like all of you to know that there are people on the governing board that are concerned about fairness and justice in the workplace, and we will continue to fight for you. But you asked about our particular suit. The suit that Rabbi Krieger and myself brought is basically...
Rabbi Krieger is also a member of the board?
He is also a member of the Pacifica Foundation National Governing Board from the KPFK signal area in Los Angeles, California. And our suit was brought in September after we served a letter to Pacifica in May about our concerns. And basically... Rabbi Krieger and I saw things happening at the occupation and the lockout at KPFA and with the reassignment and harassment of Verna Avery Brown and Dan Coughlin.
Verna Avery Brown being the news anchor at Pacifica National News.
The national news anchor at Pacifica Network News.
And Dan Coughlin
was the manager of Pacifica National Network News.
And what were the situation? What were the particulars of their reassignment?
Well, the bottom line is that Verna Avery Brown is no longer working for Pacifica, and Dan Coughlin was reassigned out of his job. And that took place immediately after a board meeting in November, in October, November, in Houston, Texas of last year. But the bottom line is that Rabbi Kriegel and I saw what had happened at KPFA, saw what had happened with these people. We saw the way the board was realigning, was bringing on staff, and basically railroaded a new chairman and a new executive director in March of this year without providing for a search and nominations process. And we felt that as members of the board of directors, we had to take action to stop this type of thing from continuing to occur. And the types of actions that we're concerned about involve, first of all, violations of the Pacifica bylaws. And the best example that I can give you of this, and this is a practice that has occurred for some time now, is that the top two officers of the governing board, David Acosta, who was the chair of the governing board, and Ken Ford, who was the vice chair, are basically serving on the board, although their terms of membership have expired. And there is no provision in the bylaws that allows them to do this. But this is the type of violation of the bylaws which creates significant problems for governance. A second key issue is the fact that the executive committee of the governing board, a small clique on the governing board, has assumed responsibility for all decision-making for the governing board. And this prevents the full board from participating in matters pertinent to the way decisions are made. For example, when the executive director was appointed in March of last year to replace Lynn Chadwick, there was no search, there was no nominations process. It was just announced at the last meeting on Sunday of the three-day board meeting that Ms. Walsh had been nominated, and that was it. That was what happened. In addition to that,
and you were just expected to sign on, just to say yes.
At that point, they had a majority. There was nothing we could do. In the past, traditionally, both the chairman of the board and the executive director have been selected after an extensive selection process and discussions, and people have been allowed to make nominations, not with the scope of 30 seconds or a minute, but over a period of weeks and months. And in addition to that, there have been a number of people that have been brought onto the board recently without scrutiny. And what that means is that the committee that handles nominations to the governing board, particularly at large nominations to the governing board, is the Board Governance and Structure Committee. And the process that we have traditionally followed is that for nominations that don't come through the local advisory boards, we will have the names of people and their curriculum vitae submitted to board members so that we can look at this before the nominations are discussed and voted on and then submitted to the full board. What's happened recently is that we have meetings of the Governance and Structure Committee, and we're given the names of people, and we're literally told to vote for them.
Right.
And in fact, the members of the committee are berated if they have any questions about why they haven't had a chance to, or in some cases, we don't even get their curriculum vitae in advance. So that's another serious problem. The lack of accountability is one of the biggest problems.
But just to continue on that, yes, on that note, through this process, the people who have come onto the board have really come on purely out of their personal loyalty to other individual members of the board. So, for example, when Dr. Mary Frances Berry was the executive director, people whom she brought in were brought in not for their political base, not for their progressive ideas, but largely for their loyalty to her.
We have seen a number of people brought onto the board recently without the typical process of scrutiny, and the only thing that recommends them to the board And it's not to say that they're not good people, that they're not holding jobs, and that they don't have qualifications. But the only thing that recommends them as members of the board is that they have some personal loyalty to another board member or someone that's a member of the national staff. But right. Not because of their work as a, you know, as a financial supporter or as an activist or as a member of a local advisory board or as a programmer with the Pacifica station.
Or even any interest in radio at all.
Exactly.
So you were saying about lack of accountability.
Yeah, there's another fundamental problem. More than 4 out of 5 of the dollars that are raised by Pacifica come directly from the listeners. And so accountability for this is very important. And although we currently, the board doesn't allow any broadcast or written notification of its actions to go out to the listeners, we should be concerned about being accountable to the listeners. So Rabbi Kriegel and I, after the occupation of KPFA in 1999, requested that we have disclosed to us the documents for all of the unbudgeted overspending that took place in conjunction with the occupation.
And describe.
It dealt with security costs, legal fees, public relations, and other consultants.
In other words, I mean, this was money being used by Pacifica National.
Yes, it was unbudgeted spending that took place.
To hire security guards?
Yes.
Occupation.
And we, as directors, we're entitled to review these records, and we asked to review the documents. We were told that we would be given access to them, but we weren't. And we wrote to them over and over and over again, as you've seen. You've seen the documentation.
Right.
So that, you know, not only are we not accountable for what happened at KPFA, you know, we haven't even disclosed what did happen at KPFA. And we think that the listeners, as board members, we think that this accountability is very important.
Right. So just to continue on that, I mean, these were all the public relations firm. These were all the things which were being brought in.
Public relations firm.
Brought in by Pacifica in its attempt to squash what was happening at KPFA.
We paid them something between $50,000 and $80,000. You know, different figures have been used.
And none of that.
And they fired Pacifica after several weeks.
Right.
We were fired.
Right.
And so we paid them a significant amount of money.
Right. And none of that has been disclosed even to you.
No.
The other board members.
And as you've seen, you know, we have written, you know, to the board repeatedly saying, you know, you agreed that we were going to see these documents. We want to see them, and we haven't seen the documents. So that's another reason why we felt that we had to bring suit against the board about these things. But you know, the problem is that there has just been a pattern of bylaw violations and manipulation of the governance process and lack of accountability. And we don't know what the ultimate objective is, but what we do know, and what people, I'm sure, in the BAI signal area, which your listeners right now are aware of, is that after you've taken away the national programming that people care about, after you've taken away the local programming that people care about, after you've taken away everything that Pacifica Rent represents to people or that makes the local stations responsive to the listeners, it's going to be very easy for you to take the assets that are of value to people on Wall Street, you know, and sell them for money because you've broken the critical tie between the listeners and the network. And that's something that we felt as directors we had to take action to stop, because we knew that this pattern of action that began, well, it really began before KPFA, but it came full flower with KPFA and with Verna Avery Brown and with Dan Coughlin, was something that we could only in good conscience take action to stop. We couldn't allow it to continue to happen.
So could you then describe, lay out the particulars of your lawsuit and where you hope to have it go?
Yeah, fundamentally, as directors, we don't have... First of all, let me say there are currently 3 suits against Pacifica. There is a suit that has been brought by the local advisory boards. There is a suit that's been brought by listeners, general listeners, and of course the listeners are the ones that supply most of the resources to Pacifica. And our suit is by people who are actually directors of the National Governing Board. The difficulty that most people have is proving that they have standing. As directors of the Governing Board, Rabbi Kriegel and I don't have that problem, and we've been able to provide chapter and verse with a number of specific instances of the violation of bylaws and the other abuses and the lack of accountability that have allowed the organization to drift into this type of chaos. So fundamentally what we want to do is we're asking that the courts will agree to remove the executive committee. That's the group that basically has taken action upon itself for the full board. And we're asking that in addition to that, it'll allow us to do some things like, you know, reestablish the correct elections of members of the board, and repeal some of the actions that have taken place illegally, people that have been brought on the board illegally. But more importantly, we also want to see the very vague and conflicting and insufficient bylaws that are basically allowing the governance process to work so incompetently now to be updated and brought back into conformity with the original mission that Lou Hill envisioned for Pacifica and with the principles of democratic governance that will help the, you know, the listener supporters, you know, participate in a democratic fashion in governance and that will provide accountability. And since we are directors, we feel that the courts will pay, you know, particular attention to the things that we're talking about, because we're not talking about things that we haven't seen happening from the inside.
Now, one aspect of what you're saying is that there is this pattern of just incompetence and lack of accountability. But there are two different issues, in a sense. I mean, one is just simply incompetence and poor management and poor governance. But the other issue is that because, in a sense, the structure of Pacifica had not been well enough constructed, that because it allowed this sort of poor governance and weak accountability to flourish, that people with a political vision very different from the original vision of Pacifica were able to make use of this and actually push through or push it in a direction very different from its original intent. Is that your reading?
That's one of the concerns that I have. I think any organization, no matter what type of organization it is or what, you know, not-for-profit or for-profit structure it has, even if it's a social thing, there has to be a culture of management and of governance. There, you know, in any successful group activity, there has to be a culture, you know, that determines that things are played in a certain way, that rules are followed to assure a certain outcome. And I think one of the significant problems that Pacifica has had is that the culture of its governance in particular and also the culture of its management have never gelled and have never provided the type of climate that will allow, you know, the most outspoken alternative voices and the organization to function as a voice for the voiceless. The reality is that those people can only operate in a climate which has a certain amount of technical, you know, and personnel infrastructure stability. You can't expect that somebody that's going to attract a national audience and attract the accolades of an Amy Goodman is going to be able to survive forever in the type of climate where she's being harassed, the rules are being changed on her, you know, she's being disciplined, you know, for things which she hasn't done and which she's being subject on the internet, you know, to accusations which are not true. So, you know, yes, one of my concerns is that we have not evolved a management culture and a governance culture which has allowed us to create a stable environment for the alternative voices that we want to reflect the ideals and the mission of Pacifica.
Which is a perfect segue for my next question. You're listening to Rob Robinson, a dissident member of the Pacifica National Board, who, with another member, Rabbi Aaron Krieger, is one of the plaintiffs in a lawsuit, the director's lawsuit brought against the National Board. So what is your vision for a progressive, or I would say even a radical left vision for what Pacifica should be? And how to get there?
Right. It may not sound radical, but I think part of the problem, or part of what we must do, is we must take the fundamental functions that we have as an organization and figure out how to make them work in accordance with the vision. Pacifica is a foundation. Pacifica is a national radio network, and Pacifica is a collection of autonomous community-based stations. To me, that means as a board and as an organization, we have to have some standards. I think that the foundation, and foundations typically acquire and allocate resources, but I think as a foundation, we need to establish some formal relations to organizations on the left with constituencies and access to resources. And I'm talking about labor unions, I'm talking about the universities, I'm talking about the media, I'm talking about groups like the tribes, you know, advocacy organizations such as the NAACP and others that, as I said, that have significant constituencies and access to resources. We have to have a formal relationship, a place for them within our organization, whether it's on the board per se or members of advisory groups.
So you think that actually these need to be written in explicitly into the statement or structure of Pacifica?
I think that we do, yes. And I think that we do, definitely.
And also in terms of this, of a statement of purpose, that is, we have to spell out what we mean by a left perspective or a progressive perspective and do it in a way which is legally binding?
I think that we can go too far in that direction, but I think, for example, when the radical right went after affirmative action, when Governor Pete Wilson of California went after tribes on behalf of the Nevada Gambling Commission and the Bent Nose Crew, Pacifica, with the exception of people like Verna Avery Brown and occasionally Amy Goodman, Pacifica was not weighing in. It was not a big burning issue for us. So, yes, I think that the progressive things that we're concerned about, the incursions of the radical right wing, you know, onto working people, onto minorities, onto people that want to have a diverse society, is something that we have to be very clear is important to us, and we have to put it in writing, and we have to be clear about it. But I think it's not simply that. If we're going to be a national radio network, how can we survive with only one national radio program? You know, we have the Amy Goodman Show, and we have Pacifica Network News, which is becoming increasingly a headline news service.
It just takes off the wire services and puts it right out.
It increasingly sounds that way to me, and I could be mistaken, and if I'm mistaken, then I can be proven so, and I apologize.
Right. Well, we do need to wind up pretty soon, so maybe in the next 30 seconds, how about to speak the cultural high ground, what should Pacifica do, and very briefly?
Well, I think we have to put our values and principles in place. If we're going to be a voice for the voiceless, we have to be prepared to say what that means. If we want to have fairness in the workplace, we better be sure that we're doing the things to keep and attract the competent people to our workplace, and we're not doing that.
We have to be fair within Pacifica itself.
We have to be extremely fair within Pacifica.
We really are out of time, so give a contact information for yourself.
The best way to reach me is at robin@erols.com, but we've established a joint fund for the three lawsuits currently, and that's called the Free Pacifica Legal Action /Vanguard Foundation, and it's at 383 Rhode Island Street, Suite 301 in San Francisco, California, and the zip is 94103.
Could you repeat your email?
My email is robin@erols.com.
Thank you very much. Well, that's all the time we have.
And Aruda, thank you, and thank the listeners.
We were listening to Rob Robinson, a dissident member of the National Board and a plaintiff in one of the lawsuits, as he was saying. If you want tapes or transcripts of today's program or earlier programs, please call 212-209-2991 or 212-888-7108 or email apforum@egroups.com. That is apforum@egroups.com. There are two very quick announcements. Bernard White and Sharan Harper were fired and are still out. Funds for Bernard and Sharan are being collected. Please call the hotline number 800-825-0055. That is 800-825-0055 or 718-707-7189. That's 718-707-7189. Also, there's a demonstration this Saturday at 12 noon to 2 p.m. right here in front of WBAI, 120 Wall Street. Take the 2, 3, 4, or 5 to Wall and walk east to the river. That is a demonstration this Saturday at noon in support of WBAI. Take 2, 3, 4, 5 to Wall Street and walk east to the river. There's a public meeting on January 11th at 6:30 to be announced. And stay tuned. Up next, Cat Radio Cafe. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. This is Anirudha Das. Okay.